Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 40. In this chapter, we have Ezekiel's vision of a beautiful temple to be built in the future. Let's begin by reading the first four verses. In the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. On it, toward the south, was something like the structure of a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears, and fix your mind on everything I show you, for you were brought here so that I might show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. Here in Ezekiel chapter 40, we begin the final division of the book of Ezekiel. Chapters 40 through 48 have to do with Israel's future. These chapters contain prophecies concerning Israel during the future millennial kingdom of Christ here on this earth. In chapters 40 through 43, we have a description of the future temple that will be built for that millennial kingdom. In verse 1 of chapter 40, we see that this vision of the future came to Ezekiel in his 25th year of the captivity in Babylon, and 14 years after Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. That would be in the year 573 BC. In the vision, Ezekiel was taken to a very high mountain in Israel, and there he was shown the large temple complex, which looked like a city. The high mountain here, we believe, is literally the location of Jerusalem in the future, because we will see in these final chapters of Ezekiel that there are going to be topographical changes in the land of Israel in the future. And both Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 and Zechariah chapter 14 verse 10 indicate that Jerusalem and the Temple Mount will be raised above all surrounding hills and mountains. The man in verse 3 who gave Ezekiel the tour of the temple was probably the angel of the Lord. That is the Lord himself, based on Ezekiel chapter 44 verses 2 and 5, where Ezekiel refers to him as Lord. Now let's move to our first doctrinal point, which is the temple of Ezekiel's vision was not a rebuilt temple of history. The temple of Ezekiel's vision was not a rebuilt temple of history. In verses 5 through 27, we have the first part of the detailed description of this temple. Let's read some of these verses. In verse 5, we have a description of the low wall surrounding the whole temple complex and defining the temple area. Verse 5. Now there was a wall all around the outside of the temple. In the man's hand was a measuring rod 6 cubits long, each being a cubit and a handbreadth. And he measured the width of the wall structure 1 rod, and its height 1 rod. Now in verses 6 through 27, we have a description of 3 gates in this wall for entrance into the outer court. There was the east gate described in verses 6 through 19, the north gate described in verses 20 through 23, and the south gate described in verses 24 through 27. Each of these gates followed the same detailed design, including steps, porches, thresholds, chambers, doors, and windows. Let's read some of these verses concerning the east gate. Verse 10. In the eastern gateway were 3 gate chambers on one side and 3 on the other. The 3 were all the same size. Also the gateposts were of the same size on this side and that side. And verse 16. There were beveled window frames in the gate chambers and in their intervening archways on the inside of the gateway all around. Now in verses 17 through 19, we have a description of the outer temple court that you would enter if you pass through one of these 3 gates. We see in verse 17 that 30 chambers lined the perimeter of this outer court. Verse 17, then he brought me into the outer court, and there were chambers and a pavement made all around the court. 30 chambers faced the pavement. When Ezekiel received this prophetic vision of the temple in 573 BC, the destruction of Solomon's temple had already taken place, of course, 14 years before this time. So is Ezekiel's vision describing the temple that would be rebuilt by Zerubbabel and the Jews who would return from captivity in Babylon? Answer, no. It can't be because the dimensions and details here do not agree with what we have in the book of Ezra concerning the rebuilt temple after the Jews returned from captivity. Zerubbabel's temple was much smaller in size than this glorious temple described here in Ezekiel's vision. Well then, what about Herod's temple, which was an expansion of Zerubbabel's temple? Herod's temple, remember, was the temple that stood on the Temple Mount at the time of Christ and was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Here again, from what we know of the details and dimensions of that temple, from both written sources and the archaeological ruins that can be seen today, Herod's temple was not the temple predicted by Ezekiel's prophetic vision here in Ezekiel chapter 40. So the temple of Ezekiel's vision was not a rebuilt temple of history. Doctrinal point number two. The temple of Ezekiel's vision is not the Christian church now. The temple of Ezekiel's vision is not the Christian church now. Let's read some of the rest of this chapter where we have a detailed description of the inner court with its gates and chambers and tables. In verses 28 through 37, we have the detailed description of three more gates, one to the east, one to the north, and one to the south. Now, these are not the same gates described earlier, which were to the outer court. No, these three gates lead from the outer court into the inner court of the temple. In verses 28 through 31, we have the inner south gate. In verses 32 through 34, we have the similar inner east gate. And in verses 35 through 37, we have the similar inner north gate. Now in verses 38 through 47, we have a detailed description of the inner court of the temple, including the rooms and tables for preparing the sacrifices, and the rooms to be used as quarters for the priests, including the singers. And then finally, in verses 48 and 49, we have a detailed description of the temple vestibule or porch. Let's read those verses, which conclude the chapter. Then he brought me to the vestibule of the temple and measured the doorposts of the vestibule, 5 cubits on this side and 5 cubits on that side. And the width of the gateway was 3 cubits on this side and 3 cubits on that side. The length of the vestibule was 20 cubits and the width 11 cubits. And by the steps which led up to it, there were pillars by the doorposts, one on this side and another on that side. If the temple of Ezekiel's vision is not a literal temple that existed in the past, maybe we should spiritualize the description of this temple and make it the church today. After all, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 2 make it clear that the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, this view may look good at first, and many Christians go with this interpretation, but there are several problems with this approach. Number one, why all the details? This chapter is loaded with details about gates and walls and courts and porches and pillars and guardrooms and priest chambers and pavements and shuttered windows and steps and staircases and tables with numbers and dimensions given throughout the detailed description. Why all these details if they are all going to be spiritualized to the church? And if these details are part of this extended allegory of the church today, what do they possibly mean? There is no clue given in the text itself or in the New Testament. Number two, even a bigger problem with the idea that Ezekiel's temple represents the church is the change in hermeneutics or interpretation principles that is required to change Ezekiel's predicted temple into the church. Ezekiel's vision of the destruction of the first Jewish temple in Ezekiel chapter 7 through 12 literally came true, right down to the very details. Why should Ezekiel's vision of a future temple not be fulfilled literally, right down to the very details? Just as God gave Moses the exact details and dimensions of the tabernacle to be built in the wilderness in the past, so God gave Ezekiel the exact details and dimensions of the temple to be built in the future. And number three, the Lord Jesus spoke of a literal temple in his Olivet Discourse of the End Times. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, the Lord predicted that in the end times, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet will stand in the holy place. Obviously, there must be a literal temple at that time for this desecration of the holy place to take place. The Apostle Paul also predicted a future literal temple when he wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the future man of lawlessness will take his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So we don't believe the temple of Ezekiel's vision is the Christian church now, but it is a literal temple in Jerusalem to be built in the future. And that brings us to doctrinal point number 3. The temple of Ezekiel's vision is the future temple of the millennium. The temple of Ezekiel's vision is the future temple of the millennium. When all the prophetic passages of the Bible are put together in sequence, we believe the Bible teaches that there will be a 7-year tribulation period that will follow this present age of the church. And then following the tribulation period, the Lord will return to this earth and set up his literal earthly kingdom known as the millennium because he will reign for a literal 1,000 years. Not only will there be a literal temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation period that will be desecrated by the man of lawlessness and the abomination of desolation, as we mentioned, but then there will be a literal temple during the millennium as well. The messianic prophecy in Zechariah chapter 6 seems to indicate that the Lord himself will direct the building of this millennial temple. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It is this temple of the Messiah's literal future kingdom here on this earth that we believe is the temple of Ezekiel's vision. It is in the context of Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, which are all about that future millennial kingdom of Christ. That future temple will be built following the details and dimensions that are contained in Ezekiel's vision. The temple of Ezekiel's vision is the future temple of the millennium. Now, what about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 40? Remember, our present eschatology will become our future experience. Remember, our present eschatology will become our future experience. Eschatology means the study of future things. As believers, our present studies of eschatology are not just academic. We will be vitally involved with these things in the future. We will return with the Lord and be part of his millennial kingdom. We will be able to walk in these literal temple courts and walk through these literal temple gates. And best of all, we will reign with Christ in his wonderful literal kingdom here on this earth. Remember, our present eschatology will become our future experience.